Learn more at Chenal.com.
Original gangster.
The OG is in the house. I thought this should be a good theme song for you because you are the original gangster by Buzz Standards. Wally, welcome back to the Buzz. I say officially now, yesterday, kind of a warm-up act. You were able to shake off a couple of cobwebs, try to get Trey and Matt in line.
Everybody's got to loosen up for the big show.
This is the big show, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big.
My show's been accused of a lot of things. Being big has never been one of them.
Can I ask Christine a question?
You can do whatever you want.
Do you actually know your grandmother?
Of course I do.
It was a great segment, but I kept expecting her to warm up and ask, honey, how are you?
I just talked to her on the phone before that. Okay. I called her to say, hey, Grandma, would you be willing to do this? She goes, well, maybe I can put Grandpa on. What if I can't answer all the questions? I'm like, Grandma, you'll do great, I promise. Let me tell you, my grandfather cannot hear that well, so he would have been like, what? What did they say? So it worked out well, but she knows everything there is to know. Like, in her house, you do not do anything. You do not turn the channel. You do not talk loud. When the football and the hockey is on, you don't talk. She doesn't get up.
Where does she live?
Canada. Edmonton, Alberta.
She's all business up there. It's
she
all business.
Is Edmonton Oilers, Edmonton Eskimos. She bleeds that blood.
I'll tell you something. She runs a tight igloo, Wally.
She does.
So do not mess with her. So, I've seen you some, but not on the air. Let me squeeze Corey in here, and then I want to delve into some things with Wally. I gotta test your temperature on some things because we haven't had you on officially yet to talk about a few things that we've probably covered a little bit, but not on the air. So, Corey.
Yeah.
You have a question?
Yeah, I was really wanting Grandma's advice.
Sorry.
That's fine. The Chicago Bears' new head coach came from Canada. He coached the Montreal Alouettes. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
I haven't really heard much about him or the Bears, period. I was wondering if y'all have anything that you can shed some light on. I've heard very, very little.
Well,
very
I think he'll do a great job, and he should be able to lead them to a third or fourth place finish in their division, I imagine, this year.
Third or fourth place.
So,
as soon as
he figures out the more shallow end zone situation, he'll be fine.
Watch out for that pole.
Yeah, I love the 55-yard line. That's my favorite thing in Canadian football.
Oh, yeah.
But, Corey, that's a good question. I haven't heard much talk about him either, to be honest with you, and I don't think you need to worry about it because they won't be talking about the Bears come the midpoint of the season.
Right. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it.
Says the Packer fan. So, Wally.
Yes, sir.
What's your
blue?
It's amazing. See, I mean, we've got that kind of rapport. I was going to ask, what's your temperature on the Razorbacks? I saw a report yesterday that said there's an expectation from, I think it was scout.com, that every team in the West will be bowl eligible.
Wow.
I think that's awfully
bold.
Awfully bold, yes. Six wins for a few of those teams, of course, including Arkansas. But what do you think? How many teams do you think out of the West will end up being bowl eligible? And what's your feeling on this Arkansas team?
Well, first of all, I think maybe five, to be realistic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into the season blowing smoke. I think Arkansas will be lucky to get six wins. This is a team that's totally rebuilding. If they weren't, John L. would have been back for another year of disarray and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
But they looked around. They didn't have. They lost all their players. All their offense is gone. The defense back was ranked 83rd in the nation. I mean, what are people really optimistic about? They just got to give this guy a chance, give him a couple of years. I don't see a bowl this year.
Okay. That's disappointing. I hope they make one, but any bowl would be
fine. Am I
fired?
Do you want me to do sunshine?
No, I don't.
No, Justin, I think 12-0.
It'll be later today.
It's early, isn't it?
What about, you know, the guy that's got as much attention as anybody the last couple of weeks, and there was a nice write-up in the Democrat Gazette about it, was Ben Herbert.
Yeah.
He obviously, I mean, all you got to do is look at the pictures. He's done a pretty remarkable job. And all these strength and conditioning guys, I mean, they all know what they're doing, but some guys are getting better results than others, clearly. What he's done with some of these offensive linemen is remarkable.
Right. And every time you get a new strength and conditioning coach, he's the greatest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
How many have you been through over the years?
About 11.
Yeah.
And they're all the best. They're on cutting edge. But one thing Bobby Petrino didn't believe in was running. I mean, they would raise those four fingers, but they hadn't done any fourth quarter running. He did not like to run. He liked to run from spot to spot during practice, and he considered that the running. And I thought a lot of times in the fourth quarter they gave out. And so this guy, he believes in running, and obviously football's a running game.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to be an advantage.
Whatever he's doing is working. The big conversation yesterday from Jim Chaney, and we've got another clip from him we'll play here in a second, was –
the receiver core. And, of course, Mikhail Mackay, which, again, we're all scratching our heads. Not necessarily that he's leaving. I'm not shocked that any receiver is leaving necessarily, but to do it at this point in the season, it's bad for him and it's bad for the program. I don't get the thinking.
Well, I'm not saying that this is what it is, but in my years of covering college football, when a guy leaves right after the second session of summer school, generally they're not eligible.
Okay, that could be part of it. I did see a conversation or a comment by one of the receivers, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Herndon. Had said something to the effect of, you know, that's between Coach and Mikhail, and, you know. So it sounded like there might be some sort of conflict there, but I got to think, you're the leading receiver on the team. You're 6'5" or whatever he is. You're gonna have an opportunity to make some plays, even in his run-oriented offense or run-first offense at least.
But in college, they still expect you to go to class. I know that's ridiculous.
It's not fair. Really isn't.
It is unfair.
Silly. Just silly.
Bringing millions of dollars into school?
If you're good enough, you can be called an athlete student, but in most cases it is student-athlete, unfortunately.
And I'm not saying he's not eligible,
right.
But generally in my more than three decades of doing this, after the second session of summer school, if somebody leaves, they were given two summer sessions to pick up 12 hours and get that grade point up, and generally they didn't.
I know you spent a little bit of time on the phone and in person with the new head coach, not a lot of time, but what are your impressions of him, and what are your expectations for what he's doing or what his philosophy is and how it'll work here?
First of all, I don't know him. I've been around him. I've had two phone conversations and was with him once. You know how it is. You know where he's from. He's not a chatty person. He hadn't learned that yet. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be warm and fuzzy. He's all business. I think his philosophy will have to be tweaked, because smash mouth football, that is SEC, and he's not going to surprise anybody when he lines up and tries to run it down their throat. And teams practice against that every day. They're gonna have to have, especially with this team, some trickery if they're going to win some games. They're going to have some trick plays, and they're going to have to be able to execute and get everything out of that defensive line that they didn't get last year. They got to get pressure on quarterbacks, or they're going to get lit up again.
Plenty of worry to go around. Plenty of positions there are question marks. What are your biggest questions going in as far as position?
Running back.
Really? Okay, that's surprising.
Well, everybody's high on these young guys, but they've got to be able to go 12 games. And in the SEC, that's hard. It's just like, and I know we'll probably get into Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel didn't get hit last year. If he plays this year, he's getting hit. It may be out of bounds, but he's getting hit.
So what about defensively? What's your greatest area of concern? If you say defensive line, now I'm really going to be surprised.
No. It's a secondary.
Okay.
I mean, they ranked 112th against the pass last year. They made so many mediocre quarterbacks look good. I think there's a lot of concern there. I think a new philosophy, a new style may help. You know, we watched them last year. They never turn around and look for the ball. And all of a sudden, some guys caught it, and it's gone for an 85-yard touchdown. They need some new technique.
Hopefully they're getting it with the new staff.
I hope so. You know, we're not allowed to watch this week, so we don't really know what's going on.
How have you been through this before? I mean, I know Petrino had moments. I mean, have there been coaches? Back in the day, I mean, was it open all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be up until, I think, Houston's last 2 years. It was wide open. Fans could come out. Listen, there's a nationwide trend of attendance dropping. And I think some of that has to do with television, but I think some of that also has to do with how secretive all the coaches have become. And the fans are being alienated. They don't feel like they're part of the team until, you know, give your donation, buy your ticket, but don't expect to come watch practice.
Yeah.
But, you know, first scrimmage, in the first scrimmage closed? I've never heard of that. So I think the fans are being alienated, and it's showing up in ticket sales.
That's interesting. I'm hoping that's a first-year deal, and I understand they want to be able to evaluate without any kind of distraction.
I understand that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a weeding-out process still going on for them.
You know, when this really they got serious about this was with the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Guys were sitting there in practice, and generally it was guys that had websites, and they wanted to be first. And so they were posting stuff on their website. So-and-so got hurt.
Right.
Well, they hadn't even told the parents.
Yeah.
You know, you just, if you have rules and they don't follow them, then you ban them from practice. It wasn't real journalists, but that's who paid the price.
Right.
And then the fans paid it because they don't get any news in the newspaper or on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You mean they didn't have a newspaper column? Is that what you meant?
I don't use a lot of quotes. Mine's mostly subjective. Kind of like your show.
It is amazing. You know what?
Yeah.
You know, radio is still, at least we're somewhat protected. I mean, a lot of people have a podcast. I don't think it's necessarily influential enough in most cases where it really matters. But
right.
anybody can get on the internet and write a column these days. So right. Your industry has changed substantially.
Yes, it has. And we're one of the few newspapers that have been just barely affected.
Yeah.
But we didn't do a knee-jerk reaction like a lot of major newspapers around the country. They completely stopped being a newspaper and became the internet and print.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your subscribers wanted a newspaper, so we continued to do what we did. I think we lost, most newspapers were losing 15 to 18% of their subscriptions. We lost maybe two, and we got one of that back. So, and we've changed our business model a little bit, had to go up a little bit on the paper, but we're doing very well.
Yeah, well, that's good. I read it every day, 2 cups of coffee in the paper every morning.
Me too.
Yeah, ever since I was little. My grandfather, when I was little, he would make me read the entire paper before I got to read the sports page. So that's something I haven't changed. I don't necessarily read it in that order, but I always read the whole thing, cover to cover.
Cover to cover, yeah.
It's good for you.
I do as well. But,
I don't.
You only read the sports section?
Well, no, I read the obits. Make sure I'm not there.
Oh, come on. All right, we'll get into Johnny Manziel, and since Sterling wants to talk about it, I'll let him start us off here. Yes, the big news yesterday was that the broker's now saying there was a $7,500 payment, so they're getting the specifics. There are guys talking. There are people who are identified. It's not these mystery, shadowy folks behind the scenes who may or may not have been involved. And this is not even the Miami situation. This is one in Connecticut, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So, Sterling, what's up, my man?
Oh, nothing much. I just love that the A&M going to hold them out, especially for them first few games if nothing's decided by then. Are they going to press the NCAA to tell them something or make a ruling or something? Because it looks like this guy's not going to talk to the NCAA, and don't look like they're going to find a money trail since he already has so much money. I see this being much like Cam Newton, much about nothing, but what I don't understand is people try to compare Dyer and Manziel, and one's the NCAA violations, another one's just personal conduct, and I don't see the correlation. But
I agree.
I got another question about and this go back to A-Rod. What does baseball have on him to make this suspension so hard? This is his first offense, and you're gonna say he interfered with their investigation. Is that worth three times?
It's not his first.
Yeah, it's not his.
It's not his first
offense.
It's his first offense that they could actually do anything to.
This is his first offense in Major League Baseball.
It's not. It's his first offense that they can actually punish him for. The other ones were all given a pass, but he admitted to doing it before.
I mean, what do you mean given a pass?
Well, they couldn't prosecute.
Was it against the rules or was it not? I mean, he admitted to using steroids, but he didn't fail a test. He ain't started to 50 games.
Well, it was against the law, whether or not it was against Major League rules at that time.
The confession's as good as failing a test.
I think it's enough beatings against the law.
Well, the point is, I think most people would agree that if he appeals, the one thing he's going to get, he's not going to get out of it, but he can probably reduce the number. 211 is probably a little out of line, but
that's way out of line. I mean, at best, I mean.
Yeah, I bet he could get it down to 100 games. I'll be surprised if he can't get it down to 100 games. But again, at 38 years old or whatever, I don't know if he's going to quite be 38, but he's going to be real close if he isn't. You know, and again, I'll give him credit. Look, he's been 2-for-6 the last two games, and as my buddy Eric pointed out to me earlier, that's Hall of Fame numbers. But still, I don't know how long he can keep that up because let's be honest, when he was healthy and playing, he wasn't exactly lighting it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the side. I just hate him being like the – make the example out of him, and it's going to be, and to me, it's seated on his swan song. It's trying to make his legacy on this Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame numbers, famous guy, one of the best talents we've ever seen, and going to make him an example I just think it's excessive.
They've done that with many guys, though. They've done that with tons of Hall of Famers.
The problem with him is, too, though, again, Sterling, and you're right, it wasn't against the rules per se, but he gave us the whole boo-hoo press conference before. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. I made a mistake. I was desperate. I whatever. I don't remember exactly all the crap he said before that he didn't mean. But anyway, then he did it again. So the thing is, yeah, I mean, the public wants him hammered. And yes, the perception of him is different than a Nelson Cruz or some of these other guys. So maybe it shouldn't be. And I don't think the 211 you can make stick. It is. I agree. It's excessive even for him. I mean, but
to me, it's just like you're treating him different because you don't like him. And to me, that's
right.
Wrong.
Well, Barry Bonds should not have been ostracized from baseball for the rest of his life either, but he was.
Right. It's just like the dude at UCA that did all that stuff he did. At UCA Harden. You know, Tommy's been a big buddy. I mean, if it was anybody else, they would have been crushing him for weeks. I just think y'all try your best I mean, this is. I mean, I know we all hypocrites deep down, but I mean, y'all try your best to treat people right. You know what I mean?
No, I'm look. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
There's been plenty of people in our world. Look at Paula Deen the other day.
Yeah.
I think she got hammered. They put her. You know, they made a story out of her. Martha Stewart, they made a story out of her.
Well, she served time at least.
Well, I know, and so will he at some point in time. But she got more time than she probably deserved. People do that every single day. It was Martha Stewart. She got hammered for it.
Look,
Paula Deen, people do that every day. She's getting hammered for it. They make an example of people all the time.
Sterling, the golden rule is treat people like you want to be treated. The bottom line is that these people weren't such jerks. People probably wouldn't hammer them so much. People go out of their way to hammer people that screw up that are jerks. If you're nice to people and you screw up, they're a little more accepting.
Man, you're right. I mean, Marvin Hanson, I mean, he probably killed somebody, but he's such a nice guy to everybody else. I guess they
who?
Don't worry about that. Michael Irvin, all his troubles, I mean, people love Michael Irvin still. I mean,
I like Michael Irvin.
I do too, but I mean, what a football player. What a hard worker. But anyway, I just hate somebody being singled out like that. Y'all have a great day.
All right, appreciate it.
Well, we've singled him out. There were several guys facing suspensions in the media.
Picked him.
Well, he's the biggest name, but as it has been pointed out repeatedly, he's not the best talent right now. Cruz is a much better talent than he is right
Overall,
now.
Overall, though, he was a better talent, like in the past however many years.
Oh, in the history of baseball by far, admittedly.
But that's the reason why they're picking him out. Not
sure.
Right now. It's
right.
Because of what he's accomplished, who he is. Like, I mean, ask anyone on the street those two names, they're never going to name Cruz. They're going to name A-Rod.
Right.
Like, he's the name of baseball.
Well, he's the only guy that was on track to, you know, break the home run record career and all that. I mean,
it's just like in football, people are comparing apples to oranges. The guys getting busted in football are not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. They're offensive and defensive linemen. They're not the headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Once some headliner gets busted for steroids, then it's going to be a bigger deal.
Absolutely, I agree with that 1,000%. But we idolize them. We make them the big deals. And then when people love, and it's sad to say, but people love to see success fall. And that's exactly what A-Rod is. And he's not only baseball. A-Rod he's completely outside of the world of baseball, just like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Those people aren't just associated he's not associated.
They transcend, you're right.
He's way more than that. He's in, you know, ads, and he's dated famous people, and he's got, you know, bar industry here, and he flies on this plane there. Like, that's the reason why people are picking him out.
Now, people do hate on him. There is some player hating going on.
He's way more than baseball.
But again, he sat there and look, if you lie to people's faces and then you do it again, it's a little harder to accept this time around.
Oh, I agree 1,000%.
I mean, he's always going to have a little bit of a tarnished. Let's say he never did it again. He still has a little bit of a tarnished image.
A little bit?
But, yeah, because, I mean, again, he wasn't punished for
a lot of it.
Well, now he does. But I think some people, if he come back healthy and had some success, people they wouldn't have given him a pass. It would have always been part of the A-Rod story. But now he makes it to the point where, yeah, everybody wants to pound him. Because
but
he came
he
back.
He cheated once, and then you cheat again.
Right.
And
that's
it's
the
like.
Point.
You're a, you know what you are. You're whatever. And I can't say those
you're
words.
You're a really rich guy who's going to play
I
next year at 38.
I just can't say those words on
right.
air.
You know what? We are one of the most forgiving nations in the world.
Oh.
This guy comes back 6 months from now. He says, I'm really sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. He's not tarnished anymore.
Tommy Smith was talking about that like last week, 2 weeks ago. If a guy just comes out and says, I screwed up 110%. My bad, my deal, I did it, don't ask me any other questions, I admit to everything 110%, you come back and you are 100% open and honest about it and take your medicine,
yeah.
You come back, people are going to accept you. It's when you go, well, I didn't do this, or well, I don't know about that, or
yeah.
You know.
No, everything comes with a caveat with him. He's always got something else
exactly.
to say about it.
Exactly.
He's
There's
annoying.
Never a full out, I did wrong, I did bad, I won't do it again, please forgive
yeah, it's
me,
like
let's
this.
Start fresh.
And I understand because of the length, if they had given him 100 games and he was appealing, then I'd really be I'd be even more upset. I do understand he wants to reduce it from 211. That is a little out of whack.
That's severe.
Yeah, so I get that part of it. A few calls here we're going to run through, and we're going to have to take a timeout. Wally Hall, Christina LaCure, Justin Akery, appreciate you tuning in today. Chris.
Yeah. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing all right. I just got a quick question about Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
If after all this is said and done, if it ever does get settled, because it seems like it ain't, and since he's won the Heisman and been in the spotlight, it's just like they're nitpicking at every little thing. But this is something, you know, as you can say, major. But What would be the worst outcome for Manziel, like after all this is said and done? Like, would he get suspended for a few games or have to pay a fine? Or what could happen? What's going to happen?
I think the worst that could happen is he doesn't play this year, and then he goes to the NFL next year.
I think that's there's not going to be a suspension of a game or two. It's going to be the season.
You don't think it'll be he could get a multi-game suspension and not the whole year?
Not if he took money and they can prove it.
Well, what about, I mean, we talked about the A.J. Green example where he got, I think he took $1,000 for a jersey. So, and he sat.
Four games.
So, like I said, if he took $7,500, you're going to take seven times four. He's probably not playing again.
You know, there's parts of that story I know we're going to get into.
Chris, thanks for the call.
All right.
The answer is, worst case scenario, he's not playing. But do we know what's going to happen? No. We don't even know if any of this is going to stick yet. I will say this. I was 100% convinced with all the smoke around Cam Newton, absolutely they were going to find something. It was going to be bad news for Auburn. Never happened. They never pinned it on him. Doesn't mean he didn't do anything. Doesn't mean there wasn't some fishy going on. Same thing here. They may never be able to pin it on him. But
you'll never convince an Alabama fan something wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to guess that since they've got a couple of trophies in their trophy case since then, they're probably not too worried about it. But speaking of, Tide fan Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. First off, I just got to hate on Sterling a minute. Man, don't call anybody hypocritical when every single one of us are hypocritical about certain
things. He did say that. He said we're all hypocrites.
Yeah, he did say that.
Okay. Well, because I know he's sitting there hating on Tommy for, you know, about the Harden thing or whatever. And just, it's just like, come on, man, get over it. But, hey, you know what? I don't really worry about the scam business stuff as much. Cause you're right, we do have three trophies in our trophy case. But
Three recent ones.
What's that?
Three recent ones, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think 15 other ones. So, but hey, I do have one stat for you, real quick, concerning a little bit of Auburn football. Did you know the last 2 years, Auburn has lost to Alabama and Georgia by a combined score of 174-21. Golly, I love that kind of stat.
Yeah, I did. I got to be honest. I actually knew that.
Oh,
no,
did you?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No, I didn't know.
Okay, well, media was also there, and Auburn was also working on fumble drills at practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that they needed to actually work on that because they fumbled the ball so much
Thank you. You know,
I'm sorry, guys.
That's the problem. Alabama fans, you're bad winners. And being a bad winner is worse than being a bad loser.
Now, hold on, Justin. You know I've called in occasionally, and probably more than occasionally, but here's the thing is, I will be the first one to tell you that I root for the Hawks 51 weeks out of the year. Okay? Yeah. I have season tickets to the Razorback game.
You're rooting for them this week?
They're not playing this week.
Well, you said 51. I'm just pointing that out. Okay.
But
I got you. You're good.
My point is there's a sacrifice of the pig week where I have to eat pork all week long. I'll be sure to do that and maybe bring you some barbecue up there. So.
Okay. I'll eat it. I promise you. I appreciate
it. Well, hey, Wally, it's good to have you out there. I love your columns in the Gazette. I actually do still pay for the paper myself, even being a mid-30s guy. I appreciate your columns, and I like your insight every once in a while.
We're going to get a whole
obviously
lot more of it.
A wise and discerning young man.
Yeah, yeah, obviously you're brilliant, Steve.
Wise beyond your
smartest
years,
Alabama
Steve.
Fan ever. KZ?
Oh, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I just want Colin chime in and, you know, it's everybody's with the steroid incident, and everybody thinks that they're going to hide it and cover it up, but everything in the dark comes to the light, and I don't understand. Same thing with Manziel. Man, I'm so tired of hearing about him. I can't wait for him to get on the field, first game, somebody knock his ass out, and let's just end it right there. Let's just put him after the game, rest of the year. We won't have to worry about NCAA. We won't have to worry about Texas A&M. Let's just go ahead and get him put out the game because I'm tired of hearing about everything he does. I don't care if he goes to Texas, to a frat party. I don't care what he does. Hey, let's just take care of it on the football field. If he wants to do all that and he don't want to be prepared for when the football season comes, great.
Have you ever been a defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints?
How'd you know that?
I'm going to guess that Rice is probably not going to knock him out. And as good as Sam Houston State is expected to be this year, I'm going to guess they probably won't knock him out either.
No, but I was just thinking more along the lines that I think Bama owes him a payback. And I think if Nick Saban and Kirby Smart sitting over there, I think they're going to have a pretty daggum game plan for him, and I'm going to make sure I tune into that one right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I agree. That's week three. I appreciate the call.
No problem, buddy.
When we come back, we're going to celebrate Little Rock Restaurant Month. Our friends from Cajuns are here. Wally